What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Sunset Drive podcast for a brand new episode. I am Anthony Smith, and on this side of the internet, I like to have old and new friends from the entertainment industry come on, talk about their career, share some stories, share some laughs. So if that sounds like a sweet time to you, then you might want to keep listening.
I think something that you should also establish, though, is like when I turn 18, we're going to do this again, and we're going to have a whole different vibe.
So today we have on the show the Queen of Ghosts with bigger pipes than Dwayne The Rock Johnson and a master at the eyeliner. This girl took the world by storm with her first role as the star of Netflix's Julie and the Phantoms. Everyone, welcome to the show, Miss Madison Reyes. Madison and I, like, we've talked, like, briefly, you know, and the vibes have been immaculate, so I feel like this has been long in the making, and we're finally here. So, like, first of all, before anything starts, quick mental health checkup, how are we doing?
We're doing great. I'm living, you know, yesterday I had a lovely day of gaming and just live. I got to play with some makeup that I've been wanting to play with for a while, the Animal Crossing collection, which I am indeed wearing today, of course. My lipstick did break, so, you know, there's always something that has to go wrong, but you have to be stronger and stay positive.
That's true.
That's all I gotta say.
Rise above the ashes. Now, you know, yesterday was Valentine's Day. Yesterday was February 14th. And my mantra is always like, you don't need a man if you got a gay best friend. I got you a Valentine's Day gift, you know? So, as you know, we've talked about certain people that you like in the entertainment field, and I, you know, I was like, okay, taking notes of that, and I reached out to some people, and they were like, oh, can you come on the pod? And they were like, oh, unfortunately, can't come on the pod right now. But I was like, I can, however, send a little message. So I took my phone and I reached out to a little friend that wants to say something to you, Maddie.
Oh my gosh! You're crazy.
Hello, Madison. It's Todrick Hall, and I wish I could be there today with you on Sunset Drive podcast, but I had to send you some love. I hear that you're a huge supporter of mine, so thank you so much for watching my videos and listening to my music. It means the world to me, Madison. Also heard that you are one of the stars of Kenny Ortega's newest project, Julie and the Phantoms, so congratulations on everything. I cannot wait to see your work. Please give Kenny my love. I love him. Such a huge fan. You are in such great hands, and I hope to meet you soon, Madison. Thank you for the support, and have a blessed, prosperous 2021.
Oh my gosh, he's the sweetest.
He's an angel.
You are amazing. I appreciate you so much. Oh my gosh.
Of course. When you said you love Todrick, I was like, okay, let me make some phone calls real quick. So he really wishes he could be here, but he's promoting his new album this week that dropped Friday, so he couldn't be here right now. But he sends his best wishes. He will become a stan, I feel like. Y'all need to link up. Truly.
Honestly.
Truly. Stop. Todrick.
Because good? I will simply love to be a background character. That's all I have to say. I will. Background, please.
Yes.
Extra, don't care. Cheerleader number one, fork two, like, whatever
fork
you need.
Fork two, yes.
I will get the coffee, honestly.
I will bring the spoon. I feel like you guys could have, like, a good partnership. Oh, my God. Imagine if he was, like your cinematographer. This man, his visions for his stuff, like, I can't.
I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. There's just, like, so much.
Yeah.
You know? And the people he chooses, the music he writes.
The vision he has for his stuff.
The ideas, the deeper meanings, just.
Chef's kiss.
Obsessed.
Okay, so, you know, before we get into the gig, you guys are noticing, if you're regular viewers, I have a whole getup right now. It's red. I'm wearing a little plaid red moment. Madison is wearing some pink and some red over here.
Pink,
giving me very
some red
Valentine's Day vibes, because it's not out yet. But by the time this comes out, you will have released your first solo moment. Fantasy song, Selena, Dreaming of You. How are you feeling, like, before it comes out? Like, what's the tea? Bring me to the gig.
So obviously, like, being honest with everybody. Mm-hmm. So this has definitely been, like, a learning curve. Right. But it's preparing me for, like, obviously when I, like, put out my own music, which is going to be much more easier than, like, putting out this cover is.
Right.
But it meant a lot to me. She's always kind of, you know, motivated me and taught me that you never really know what can happen and you should always just take every moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, use it to its fullest because you never want to take anything for granted. And so obviously it's a lot of work, you know, right. A lot of information goes into it. And luckily I have, a lot of amazing people to help me through it. Anthony, you've done the cover art, which I'm so appreciated for.
I hope you love it.
It is amazing, guys. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I have my family, you know, my cousins, they're my producers, and they have amazing friends who have also helped, you know, with the melody and the track and just producing it the best it could be. So mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun. Definitely recording it and being able to go back to the studio has been, like, the best thing for me because it's just, I'm addicted to it and I appreciate it and I love it so much. And I'm excited to go back at the end of the month to go record some more stuff for myself. But I'm excited for this cover to come out because I know everybody's been waiting for it. And yeah, I hope it goes well.
It's going to go freaking well. Like, she looks fire in the cover, the vocals. You did not need to do that to me. But it was sickening. It was freaking sickening. I just want to know, like, how is it different from, like, you know, doing it with your cousin in this very, like, controlled environment, just you, the mic, and, you know, people you know, and how is it different from, like, doing it with Columbia Records when you did Julian the Phantoms mm-hmm. and having a lot right. of people in the room and a lot of people, you know, feeding that info? How is that, like, different?
Ooh, well, obviously, the difference is, you know, when I was doing it for Julian the Phantoms, a lot of the things, the ideas that was given were between me and, you know, the person who was producing it,
right.
and then, you know, Netflix was deciding on what they liked and what they preferred, and, you know, Kenny was giving a lot of, you know, ideas as well.
Right.
So the thing with me is I kind of have to come up with everything myself, like, you know, if I want harmonies, the adverbs, and the extra little stuff that I want to add, and that could be a little tricky sometimes because I went from kind of just getting told what, you know, I should try and do, and then doing it and seeing mm-hmm. if it works, and if it didn't, then we try something else.
Right.
To going to having to do everything and kind of come up with the idea. So, I really had to get comfortable with my family. I've grown so much closer with them. They were definitely more of, like, you know, a little farther apart. So now we're getting really close.
Yeah.
And I trust in them, and they will help me with ideas. And, you know, it's also really great to have that family connection.
Right.
That, you know, because you can always trust that they're gonna do the best that they can for you. Not that the other people weren't, because they were doing everything. Alana,
they were doing
girl,
well.
She was like, we're going to go like this. I was like, ah. She was like, yes, yes, serving. And I was like, thank you.
But with your family, they're just rooting for you regardless of a paycheck yes. or not. You know, they're just like, yes, we
yes,
want to see
exactly.
you thrive.
Which is really great, especially, you know, I've heard stories about, you know, people who go out to do music by themselves and stuff like that. So that was very scary. You know, even when I came to putting out music with my family, I was a little nervous because I wasn't sure if I was ready to share, like, those personal ideas or the personal songs I wanted to write. But I definitely got to get used to it soon because there's a lot of things that I, you know, have plans of writing for in the future. Mm-hmm. And I want my fans to know about it because, like I said, I like having that honest relationship and just being open, you know, with my fans.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff is definitely going to go further down the line. But right now, a lot of the stuff that I'm working on is just, you know, being a teenager, what teenagers do, just
hang
chill,
out with friends,
vibe.
Having a kiki, video
mm-hmm,
games,
of course,
playing The Sims, yep.
Oh, do you watch my streams?
I mean, yesterday I told your dad, I was like, oh my god, I used to love playing Sims, and he was like, you know who's playing Sims right now? And I was like, who? And he was like, Madison. And I was like, not me crashing my computer with custom content every year.
Like,
seriously.
It's addicting. Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm just gonna get a little bit, and the next thing you know, it's like 3 hours later, and I have like 1,000 stuff.
And like, are you the kind of person who likes to build houses and make cute characters? Are you, like, very in it for, like, the storyline?
Right. Okay, so I very much did make my friends in Sims. We're called the Big Four.
Yep.
When we, like, we stream together and stuff like that. So I'm very much in it for the drama, very much in it for the tea.
For the tea.
My Sims character fought this girl.
Ooh!
It was like, a moment. I won both fights
because
she tried to fight me again.
Oh.
So, you know, it was just... It was just a vibe. You know, the fans were enjoying it. It took me the longest time to make myself in Sims. It took me 3 tries to make myself. But, you know, it's hard to, like, understand what you look like.
To you know? Other people and to yourself. Like, it's kind of, yeah. I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
Yeah, you know, so, but it was a lot of fun. My friends are having a lot of fun with it. I'm glad that we get to stream now and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. I'm hoping to get a camera soon and a mic. So I can be a little more professional, but
she's a streamer, y'all. Yeah, she's a streamer, y'all. No, I really love that about you. And like to get back on music, because I feel like I could talk about Sims. This could become a Sims podcast, and I would be okay with it. But let's get back to music. So what I asked Owen, because Owen has a beautiful voice on his episode, I was like, if you were gonna make music, what would be your sound? What's the sound? What is your sound, Madison?
Okay,
what's your voice?
My thing is, I always like, I don't really like being basic, I guess, like being like everybody else. And obviously I grew up with a lot of like 90s R&B and just like 90s kind of vibe of music and how stuff is written back then.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, I don't have a sound yet. Definitely. My EP, I can tell you guys this now that when it comes out, it's going to be a whole lot of, she's serving a lot.
Experimenting.
She's serving a lot. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what's so fun about it is that, you know, you get something that has everything, you know, it's kind of like a little sample, like what you vibe with the most, you vibe with the most, you know, I got a little bit of, you know, Spanish, a little bit of R&B, you know, I'm gonna get some, you know, more pop in there. So she's trying, but I would definitely say that I can see myself like when I get older, you know, as my voice starts to mature a little bit more. You know, R&B, that slow vibe.
Soulful.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that for you. Oh, my God. Todrick featuring... scratch that. Madison Reyes featuring Todrick.
Stop.
Let me put it out there.
Stop.
Let me put it out there. Let me put it out there.
There's a lot of people that I would love to do a collab with. Definitely Todrick. I feel like we could come up with something crazy. I don't... I'll be putting that out there. But Doja as well. I cannot stop talking about that girl. I would love to write a song with Doja Cat. Like, Streets. I kind of have a song that I worked on. The first song that I ever recorded is kind of like her song, you know, a little bit.
Okay.
With, like, the kind of vibe that Streets gives.
Yes.
So I can definitely see that that would be, like, a good potential. I want to write something with Jada. I would have something with her. We've talked about it. It's just all about finding like the track
timing.
And just, you know, kind of vibing with it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we've
yeah.
been busy. You know, she has her own work. She's doing stuff. She's a working girl, as she should.
Booked and busy, period.
But, you know, but then it's also like, I just finished school. I'm going to start my senior year now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I got to start thinking about like, if I want to do online college, if I want to go to college, if I want to move out.
I mean, I feel like if I influence you to do it, like, your dad will kill me. So, yeah.
No, you're not influencing me.
Okay.
She already has her
mind made up. Yeah. No, move
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's always been a, we'll worry about that when we get there.
Yeah.
But I've always, the thing with me, calm down, babe. The thing with me is, I always knew that I was, like, a little more mature than a lot of people that I had in my school. And that was, like, the problem. I never really, not the whole, like, I never fit in. It wasn't necessarily a thing of fitting in.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't say I was popular, but I was known. You know, I had a lot of friends in school, but now I'm more, once I got this job and I realized that, like, you know, all that hard work that I've always put in, you know, I was in fifth grade and I realized, like, when I came out here, you know, the educational system that we had in New York was totally different than the educational system that we have out here in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And they care a lot about the grades and they will be on you, you know?
Right.
You know, the problem with New York was you had these classes that were full and, you know, the teachers never really cared about anything. Mm-hmm. You weren't really getting that one-on-one like you should. But out here, it was like, if you were lacking, your parents were getting called. And I was not about to have that. So I realized that I really needed to, like, get into school, get my grades up. Ever since then, I was like an honor roll student. And it wasn't until my freshman year that I realized that I was working a little too hard. You know what I mean? Like, I was stressing it out.
Too much.
And like, I started getting really bad, like, anxiety and depression. And she just did not know how to deal with it. Like, I was having, like, panic attacks in this class. And I was like, this is not good.
Right.
So I realized that, you know, you don't really need to try and be perfect.
Right.
As long as you're doing good and doing as much as you like. Like, my parents, they were always like, you don't have to strive for A's and B's. You know, just make sure that you're not failing your classes and you're still doing what you have to do. And I never really understood that yet until I hit, like, high school.
Yeah.
And so after I realized that and I stopped kind of caring about, like, working that hard, I used that, like, extra energy to really get into music.
Yeah.
And that was around the time that I found about Julie and the Phantoms. Mm. And Julie, she's taught me a lot. You know, she's helped with, you know, my anxiety and those sad times that I will have, because I realized, like, how much, you know, if I keep on pushing forward, because mm-hmm. I thought it was just so bad. At that beginning of the school year, I was oh my God, like, I can't deal with this. Like,
too much.
You know, it was just much, you know? And then I realized, like, I pushed through it somehow, some way. And now I got this amazing blessing. And I'm about to have these amazing fans that I get to share my story with. And, like, just let them know that it's okay, you know? And I feel like, you know, as I get older, that's something that I'm definitely going to want to touch upon more. It's just mental health.
Very important,
you know. I know from my friends that, like, go to college and are seniors, like, the stress that you go through when you don't know what you want to do with your life. And it's like, obviously, I already have such a big, you know, jump in my career. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can kind of just calm down a little bit and not worry about it too much. But there's still a lot of things that I got to be worried about, because whether or not you want to believe it or not, shorty, next year you're going to be 18. Like,
and it comes quick. It comes quick. It does.
Like, yeah. Did you see how fast this year went by? Like,
it's crazy.
It's so insane. It's so insane.
It's crazy. And I love that you mentioned that. Like, mental health, all that stuff. I will continue to advocate for that. Like, I think it's getting normalized now with, like, TikTok and stuff like that, to, like, talk about mental health, normalize mental health. Like, now I want to start all my podcasts to be like, mental health checkup. How are we feeling? How are we doing? You know what I mean?
That's so great.
Because I think we need to normalize that. And I love talking about it with Owen, too, because he was like, we pretend we have everything figured out. We have nothing figured out. Absolutely nothing.
That's another thing, too. I just feel like our youth, you know, when I was growing up, like, I always thought that, oh, once you turn a certain age, you're going to have everything ready.
Yeah.
But the thing that we need to teach kids, you know, is that no one's ever ready.
No.
My mom wasn't ready. My dad wasn't ready when they turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, mm-hmm. I know they weren't. But they figured it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what everybody needs to know. I'm trying to teach my little sister that. You know, she's like, Maddie, you know, what's some tips you can give me for high school? And I'm like, girl, it's different for everybody, honestly. But just don't let it get to you, honestly. Because, you know, she's young, and I'm starting to see that it's starting to affect her as well.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I want her to go through is what I went through, you know,
and not
understand it. But a good thing is, you know, as the oldest, you experience this stuff, and you go through it so you can teach, you know, your younger siblings.
Yeah.
In hopes that they don't have to go through the same thing that you went through.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want people to know that, like, no one's ever ready. Ever.
No one's ever ready. And that's the great part. I feel like you said it beautifully. Like, you know, you want to give advice to your little sister, but at some point it's also like, I experience it from my shoes, how I am, my personality. You're a totally different person. So your reality, your environment, everything will be completely different. Just like, my biggest advice to everybody who would be listening would be like, march through life. Like, that's the best thing I could do. You might have no idea what you're doing.
Or take it day by day.
Take it day by day.
That's one of the things that I've been trying to do.
Yeah.
Especially as I get older.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, like, you really got to appreciate those times that you have, because, you know, obviously my thing isn't like, oh, I don't want to age. I want it to happen. I want it to come. I'm ready.
You're ready to grow up.
But I'm still going to enjoy it. Mm. You know what I mean? Tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. You know?
Yeah.
Another good example is, you know those people that, like, study really hard for tests? Like, I was one of those people who studied really hard.
Yeah, go way too hard. That's a good example. Yeah.
They're never ready. They will study the hardest, and they will get there, and they will be like, oh, I studied. Then you get the test, and you're like, I'm so confused. I don't know. Like, I'm nervous. Yeah. The anxiety, like, I'm forgetting everything.
Mm.
You know, like, yes, you can study for something, but you're not going to know until you get there.
Exactly. You know? You'll never be prepared for anything, and that's scary, but that's life. So do what you got to do. March through life. Don't get dragged by it. And if you get dragged by it, pick yourself back up. And try again.
Honestly, and it's hard.
It's super
hard. But, you know, you shouldn't let it defeat you. You know, that's what I've been trying to tell myself this whole time, is just don't give up.
Don't give up. Because
look at all this stuff. Look at all the stuff that you got. You know, you thought that you were going to lose this battle, but you won it anyways, you know? Yeah. And it's always that, it is when it starts, you're like, oh no, it's coming again. And then you're in the middle of it and you're like, I can't do this. I can't. I need to give up. It's and then you win and you're like,
oh, I did that.
Like, why don't you, you got to remind yourself, even if it's a little, you know, accomplishment. Like, you woke up and you decided to go brush your teeth and you thought it was going to be the hardest thing because you didn't want to wake up. You did. And you got out of the bed and you brushed your teeth.
And that's an accomplishment. Just that. Little wins will make a big win at the end.
You're so wise.
You're so wise. She's like, I'm 16, but I'm wiser than all y'all. Love that for you. Well, we have somebody coming on the Zoom right now because we did a little contest on the podcast to have one of our listeners and one of your fans come on and ask you one question. So let's
Can you stop with the surprises? Oh my gosh!
Come on, Easter, but I'm Father Christmas. I'm Brown Father Christmas. So we're gonna have Ella King join in right now. It's just a question for you.
Oh my gosh! Hi, Ella.
Hello.
So Ella, you won the contest. I was like, you know, everybody out here who's been listening to the podcast, Ella has been a really good supporter of the podcast and a super big supporter of you, Maddie. She is into music. Talk about yourself, Ella. Like, give us the tea. Welcome to the Kiki. Well,
hello. Thank you so much for letting me interrupt, I guess.
Of course.
I'm, of course, obviously a huge fan of Julie and the Phantoms, and I just want to thank you, Maddie, because the show has inspired me to start songwriting in the past couple of months and has inspired me, you know, pick up guitar and to really put myself out there musically. So I really appreciate all that you and your show have done for me.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy that you're here. Honestly, I love seeing you guys. I wish we could see each other all so much more often, but I'm so glad that I got to see you. I'm really glad that the show has helped you. Everybody's always telling us that they get back into music, and I really wish you the best with your songwriting. I hope everything goes well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, Ella, you had a question that you had for Maddie, and I love this question because I was like, oh, should I ask this question? And then you brought it up, and I was like, oh, Ella, take it away. Take it away.
Amazing. Well, I wanted to sort of pick your brain about songwriting because I know obviously it's something that you do have experience with, that you've done. Mm. And so I would just love to know, like, what inspires you in your songwriting, like what your process is like, all that jazz.
Right. Okay. So pretty much like how Perfect Harmony works is how I write by myself now, is you're going to have an idea of a song that you want, right? Like, let's say it's like about a breakup or someone that you like falling for, or like friendship. You're gonna have that idea, and then you're gonna like go through all the songs. Like, obviously, as you know, a songwriter and somebody who listens to music and sings, you have like a playlist of songs that you just love and vibe with, you know. So I would say your best bet is just to, you know, shuffle the playlist and then like just listen to songs, and then you're gonna eventually like find something that gives you the vibe of what you're kind of like looking for. And you know, my thing is always like lyrics and like how they're written and what they're trying to say and explain. And I'm like, okay, so the way that they said this, I really like it. I'm gonna kind of take that like idea and then kind of try to write its own personal song. It's kind of like taking like a sentence and then writing like, you know, a whole thing for it. And then after that, I don't really like produce my tracks. Luckily, my cousins, they do that for me. So we'll like shuffle them and we'll listen to the tracks that they have. And I'll be like, oh, okay, this tempo was kind of really nice. And I feel like I can, you know, get something out of it. Or, you know, you probably do your own little producing. So, you know, play around on the guitar, play around on the piano. You know, with piano stuff, I like to listen to like Sam Smith because the way that, you know, a lot of his piano in the background of his tracks works is like really good and I really like it. For guitar, I really don't know who I listen to for that, but obviously I always go like straight to like, you know, R&B, 90s stuff. Also, I really like, you know, Dua Lipa, if you like for pop and stuff. So, you know, there are artists out there who have like their certain sound, like Ariana Grande, you know what I mean? And if I'm looking for something a little more like old fashioned rather than like her today pop, then I will go back to like an old album that she had and listen to that, you know? You just listen to music and just, you know, pick up the vibe off of that and you'll, like, start getting fed stuff.
I love that.
And it's fun. It's not like stressing yourself out because you're vibing to the music that you like. And, you know, you're getting your soul ready for it. You're getting your mind ready for it. And then once you're like in the groove for something, it just flows. For sure. You know? And then there's also those times where you're like in the car and you're like looking out the window and you're like, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, let me keep going with it. Yeah. And so you pull out your memos and you're like,
oh, for sure.
You know, and then you go back to it and next thing you know, you like, you got the melody for something or a hook, you know, or the start of a verse, you know. So don't be afraid to like be structured with it, you know. You should just start wherever you land and then go off of it. And if you need to, you know, restart something, don't be afraid to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have my fair share of voice memos on my phone that is just random little tidbits. I think maybe like I'm half asleep. I'm like, oh wait, I gotta remember this. So
and even go through those as well. Yeah. You know, like, you know, sometimes I have like random journals of just songs that like I've like written down and I've never used, and I'll go through and be like, no, this line is really good, or you know, I kind of like the idea that I was going for this, but I don't really like the way it's like, you know, laid out. Yeah. Let me try something different. You know, with the same idea. Just mess around with stuff.
She's so wise.
It's your music.
Absolutely.
I love how much you learn from music. And, like, all the advice. Art inspires art. Period. So, like...
Period.
I just love that she mentioned that. Because I feel like sometimes people are afraid to listen to other music because they don't want to copy what everybody else is doing. And they're like, if I listen to other people, I'm copying what they're doing. But I think it's just like, no, you're just putting yourself in that space. Putting yourself in that mindset. Exactly.
Yeah, As your own artist, you'll always find a way to make it your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously, that's my biggest thing because, like, I would never want to copy somebody's idea or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you know how to do it right and kind of, like, take the same idea but make it your own, you know what I mean? It's just a little bit of inspiration. It's not copying, you know? You're just getting that vibe. Mm. You're getting that idea. And now you're just going to take that kind of idea and you're going to be like, all right, now how do I make this my own?
Yeah,
yep. And you're gonna find it.
The other like artist is like the best way to also learn. Like for me, like as I'm trying to learn, you know, how do I sound right? How do I come up with melodies? How do lyrics work? You know, like how else am I gonna learn other than just listening to all of my favorite artists and stuff?
Honestly, but that's also another thing is that we tend to forget that the best way to learn is just kind of just make mistakes.
Yeah.
Literally. Well, thank you, Ella, so much for coming on. Yes, thank you. This is so cool, bringing people on. I need to do that more.
So wonderful. Thank you so much, Manny and Anthony, of course. I'm so looking forward to everything that you have coming up. I can't wait to blast your original music on my Spotify playlist one day. So thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you for being here.
The rest of your interview.
Bye, guys. Why is she so sweet? I can't.
Everybody, I love my fans. They're all so sweet.
They're great.
Everybody's just so nice.
So supportive. Honestly, I need to do this more because I feel like it just... The Kiki was so fine. Okay, A&W sponsor me because Maddie's at this point giving you free promo. Free promo. Thank you, Madison.
I drink one every night. I bought 2 cans of 24.
I drink 7 up every day. Yep.
2 boxes of 24 cans.
I feel like it's fine. I drink 7 up every night. So it's like, you know... It's just like my daily dose.
It's like Mountain Dew for me.
What is Mountain Dew, dude? What is Mountain Dew do?
It's, like, it's supposed to be like really high in sugar, so like keeps you up. Like gamers are supposed to drink that stuff, but I'm like, no.
Instead of Monster. A&W, yeah. Instead of Monster, no Red Bull. A&W. Find A&W in your DMs like 2 weeks from now. Honestly, sponsor.
Like, what's up? Like,
what's good? Give us a sponsorship. All right. Well, we did a contest on the podcast, so that was Ella who came on, and she is great. And she has an EP coming out that she did inspired by Julian the Phantoms. So if y'all want to go check that out,
I need that link immediately.
She will send you the link. I will send you the link.
Oh my gosh!
Yes. Not supporting the music. We're gonna support the music. So you played Julie on Julian the Phantoms. It was your first project, and you're thriving. I feel like, you know, as someone who's been auditioning since I was 9, you know, Julian the Phantoms is like the dream team, Kenny Ortega, you know, and like, I just want to know. So you know, you auditioned for the show way back. You were in high school. You sent in a tape. You sang She Used to Be Mine, which one of the best covers I've ever heard of that song. I screamed. There's a reaction of me screaming at that song on my Instagram. You guys can go check that out. I make a fool of myself, but I was just feeling it. You know what I mean? So, like, walk me through that timeline, because you did the audition tape, and then there was that point where you went to Los Angeles to do the producer stuff, and then you came back home, and you announced your family at your quince, which, by the way, iconic. Way to go out on your quinceañera. And you announced it there. Walk me through the time. Like, what was the months? How did it go? How much time did you have to wait in anticipation? Did I get the part? Am I being flown out? What's the tea?
Right.
Okay. Give me the kiki.
So a lot of the stuff that happened was untraditional on my end.
Okay.
I had no idea what was going on. you already know the tea with my teacher at the school, right?
Just say for the fans. I know, because Ricardo explained it to me, and we talked about it, and you talked about it. But let's, for the fans who don't know,
maybe take it away. So, I was in art school, so obviously, probably, like, the reason why I wasn't prepared for this audition was because the teacher that had published it on Google Classroom for all of us did not give me the encouragement that I deserved. He basically just kind of just said, I should just enjoy the experience and have fun because the odds of me getting it is very slim. Like, the chance is not high.
Okay.
And then the process, because it was like two times that I talked to him. The first time that happened, my parents said, do not go back to that man. Do not tell him anything.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I started doing a lot of stuff on my own because I really did not know what I had to do. I just thought it was a simple, just record yourself doing a self-tape and then send it. So, I was, like I said, I was doubting a lot of stuff, so I had talked to so many friends and peers and just people that I looked up to, and they said to do it because you never know what can happen. And, you know, I did the self-tape. I did not do it with anybody, as you all know. So it was kind of like I was talking to a ghost.
Yeah, almost a pillory, yeah.
And then I sent it, and I think like 2 days or one day after I had sent it in, I had got a callback in the email. And I remember it because I was out with a friend. And I was getting fries, and my mom was like, you got an email from some acting thing. And I was like, don't open it until I get home. Don't open it without me.
Yeah.
And I ended up forgetting about it, and it was like close to midnight. And I was like, Mom, that email! And so we opened it, and they were like, hey, like, we really like you. Can you, like, give us a call? We'd like to talk to you about a callback. I was going to go see the first opening show, and so I just, you know, didn't go to school, because it was good anyways, because of the time difference, we could call in the morning with my dad, and they didn't pick up, so I was nervous, but I guess it was just, like, the office was closed,
okay.
And then, you know, we ended up leaving to go to the show, and they sent an email again, saying, hey, can you please call us back, we're so sorry we missed your call. Call us at this number.
Yeah.
I was like, Dad, like, you gotta call them right now. Like, they were like, oh, you can call us Monday, or, you know, if you can't call us today, just call us Monday. And I was like, no, you
now.
And so he calls them, and we're on the bus, and he calls us back, and he's like, I don't know what you did, but these people really like you. I'm so proud of you. Like, they want to call back, you know, supposedly it's like a Kenny Ortega thing, and he's a part of it, and all this stuff. And I was like, This isn't happening. But, you know, I wasn't trying to, like, steal my sister's moment. It was her opening night.
Yeah.
So I was just going to block it out. We're not going to talk about it. And cool. So then it was the whole, like, find a manager, find an agent thing. We went with my lovely manager, Adam Levine. Luckily, everything was going well because I had finals. So they wanted me to finish school first and then come out. So they were going to, luckily, you know, send me out after I had finished school.
Right.
So I had time to finish finals.
Right.
But I was still very much stressed because I was doing, I was in this play with the company that my sister used to be a part of.
Okay.
But then I ended up kind of, like, having to leave because I was like, look, I realized, like, I have to focus on this audition more.
Mm.
And also, like, okay, but if you don't get it, then that's kind of pointless. And I was like,
excuse me.
You know what? Okay, so I'm leaving. Have a good night. And then, you know, I just had to focus on one thing at a time, you know? So I was doing all this stuff, and I just kind of was like, okay, finals and this audition. But then they also sent me, like, two songs that I had to learn a couple of days before I had to fly out there. So I was just like, oh my gosh, what's going on? But, you know, she learned it really quickly. And then I found out that it was, like, me and two other girls at first. And so I went to my teacher, and I was like, hey, sir, like, I just want to say that, like, you know, I have a manager now, and I'm getting ready to go out for the callback, but I actually found out that it's just me and two other girls. And he was like, well, that's just a 33.3% chance of you getting it.
Wait, who is this person? Oh. Who is this person?
Oh, do you want... You want names? You want
to No, like... give me the Addy. I will personally pull up. You know, I may be a but I'm 6'5" and I can kick some butt.
Stop! Stop! And, you know, obviously, one thing that I've learned a lot through that school is how things are just in the world. They told me, like, oh, when you go to auditions, like, you have to be professional. You can't be yourself. You want to make sure that you're just, you know, doing what you need to do, get it done. You don't want to be extra, all this stuff. And I was when I went to meet Kenny, obviously, it's probably not going to be like that every audition.
Yeah.
But he gave me such a positive, you know, first experience that it makes you want to do it again. Yeah. You know, I was so... I was leaving theater from that school. I was going to vocal.
Yeah.
I was switching my art form because I could not handle that department anymore. And I was like, if I cannot do... If I do not get this role, then I'm going to start homeschooled because I cannot stay at the school. It just was ridiculous, you know? And especially if you tell us that when you go for an audition to read the bio of the character description, and you know that Julie was a Latin American girl, and you want to bring down a Latin American girl in your class, which is where one of the few people in this class...
Can it be petty for a sec? Can it be, like, a little bit petty for a second? The people who bring down teenage kids of color, whatever ethnicity you are, whatever you are, people who put you down are people who tried it themselves and couldn't make it, and now they're, like, they're feeling some type of way about it, and they're just like,
Exactly!
It's disgusting.
Like, because obviously I knew that the chances for me getting this role were much higher than, you know... The black people in the class.
Yeah.
You know, honestly. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, I'm not going to hate on Ashley, but Ashley needs to know that if they're teaching us one thing in class, then you shouldn't be auditioning for this.
We want to root for, like, diversity in film and TV, and we're rooting for it. And it's, like, truth be told, it's really hard sometimes to get scripts picked up by networks with leads that are either black or Latin or... Asian or whatever. It's hard to get a script picked up for that. So the fact that when a script is picked up for that and you send Ashley to the audition, but you spit on Madison, it's just like, babe, did you not get the memo?
Did you not? Like, how are you a teacher and you still don't get it?
The disconnect.
You know?
Wow. But you know what? You should say, because, okay, we have a clip. Your dad sent me a clip of Kenny announcing to your family at your quinceañera that you got the part on Julian. You should send him that.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kenny Ortega, and I have recently become a friend and a creative partner to Madison and her family. Ricardo, thank you so much for inviting me to join you and your family and friends to wish Madison a happy quinceañera, happy 15 years old. I thought I would take an opportunity to maybe kind of let everybody in on what's been a secret up until now. As you probably know, Madison came to Los Angeles, and she had a pretty big audition, a test that included girls from all over the world. We had girls coming in from all over the world to audition for the leading role in a brand new Netflix series called Julie and the Phantoms. And from the first moment that we saw Madison's video that she sent in, we were intrigued and bedazzled by her incredible instincts and God-given gifts. And we had high hopes for her, even though she was the youngest and the least experienced of anyone that came out to California to audition. It is with great pride and with incredible enthusiasm and excitement on behalf of myself and our writing partners, producing partners, the Netflix organization, everyone out here in California, to let you all know that Madison Reyes is going to be starring in the new Netflix television series, Julie and the Phantoms, starting shooting this September and coming out in 2020. We're so thrilled to make her a part of our Netflix family. So looking forward to working with Madison and her family. And I'm looking forward to meeting all of you sometime in the near future. So have a wonderful celebration. Want to send my birthday wishes and congratulations to Madison and her family. What an incredible young woman you have brought up into this world. I'm so looking forward to working with her. Happy birthday, Madison. Happy quinceañera.
Yes.
Send him the video.
Which was crazy because we knew the whole time. Normally that the way it works traditionally is, like I said, it was very untraditional, is you're supposed to wait up to 10 days to find out if you got the role. But... we got told right then and there that we got the role. Ooh. So I didn't have to go home all anxious. And we were all That's together, good. Me and the boys. So it was like our moment of bonding.
Yeah.
But we couldn't tell anybody yet. So we told my mom. Obviously, you've seen the clip of me saying, "Mama, I did it." And
yeah.
Like, and stuff like that. So, you know, my close family knew and stuff like that. But then we actually got to tell everybody at the King's Day because we've been telling them, "Oh, we haven't heard anything."
Oh my God. That's good. I would just like walk back to the school and be like, "I forgot some books. Oh, by the way."
I have no need to go over there. Maybe when my sister comes, starts going to that school. Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on the winter ball.
Please,
they had
please
a winter
tell.
Ball.
Not oh the my winter gosh, ball.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Daisy invited me as her plus one. Ooh. And so we had a little get up, you know, we did a black and red attire.
Yes. Because
they said it was like, I think, black and red. But no one followed it, of course. But I knew no one wasn't going to do it because that's how everybody is. They always wear, like, party dresses.
Yeah,
for the
club. Yeah, yeah,
and I was like, no, love.
There's that
we're
thing.
Classy, never trashy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
And so,
please make merch
I had
of that.
This, like, off-the-shoulder dress. It was long. Like, this is the thing you need to know.
Ball on
she
a
looks
budget.
Good on a budget.
Balling on a budget, period.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Snatch.
She pulled up to the venue.
Uh-huh.
With Daisy. I was like her old... I looked like her older sister, her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was wearing this, like, blazer, this jumpsuit. We were pulling it off.
Period.
You know, okay. she was walking. People were looking at me like, who is she? Like, you know, they were like, oh, like, why is she walking up like that? Like, who do you think she is? No. I had a fur coat, a red fur coat for my red.
Shut up.
And
shut
I
up.
Pulled up with the fur coat and I said, I'm here. So all these people that I remember, I was walking past, and they did not know who I was. So I walked in.
Mm.
I'm in this line, and these people are walking in. They're like, oh my gosh, is that Madison? Is that Madison? Everybody, mind you, no one has ever reached out to me after I left the school. They're like, oh my gosh, Madison, like, where you've been? Like, how you been? Like, where you been, girl? Like, we've been worried about you. Like, I heard that someone told me that you were, like, in Canada doing something, and I was like, yes. Like,
I'm busy.
I'm not giving you the information. Like, I'm here to party. Like, yeah, I was like, hi, bye. You know, don't be fake. Like, I already know your intentions. Like,
yeah.
Shawty. You walked over here to have a conversation with my friend when you really just wanted to try and have a conversation with me. Stop it. You're not getting the tea. You know, I very much had a good time. I saw a lot of people that I missed. So many people. Oh, my gosh. But I had a great time with the people that I went with.
That's all you can hope for.
I cried at the end because I had so much fun with Daisy. Aww. And I was like, girl, thank you so much for inviting me. I miss you guys so much. I would have went again this year with an even better fit. But, you know.
I can do that. It's my fur coat.
Served, baby.
Oh, my
served.
God. So, I want to touch on something real quick. You're a Latina woman leading your own Netflix show. You know, and this past week, an interesting topic was brought up when the final movie of the trilogy To All the Boys premiered on Netflix, where somebody brought up something about Lana Condor, the lead of the series. And they said, and I quote, "Currently wondering why Lana Condor hasn't received any major work in Hollywood yet after carrying the entire To All the Boys trilogy on her back." Which I want to put in parentheses. She did book things. It just hasn't been announced yet. And she clarified that.
Right.
On her back with her charm and charisma. While Noah Centineo has been tied to Black Adam, He-Man, the GameStop movie, etc., etc., etc. And then, which Desmond Chime responded, "If you're wondering how glass ceilings for women and bamboo ceilings intersect, not to say she won't be killing it, she will, but pound for pound, she'll be punching harder to just attain equal results." And that sentence stuck with me because I think you can attest to that because you're the, like, honestly, when I watched the show, the moment I was like, oh, I'm going to continue watching that show was when you sang Wake Up. Because I was like, ooh, yes, the talent, the production, the sun in the back, everything was giving me the fantasy. And I'm like, you're leading the show, and you're the amazing lead of the Netflix series as a non-white woman, and you're with the recording studio, you're doing school, you're trying to do two grades back-to-back, you know, but still finding ways also to go, yeah, literally, just like...
So tired. My back is in shambles.
Not
I
in
need
shambles.
To see a chiropractor.
Plays. But yeah, you're just killing it. And then you're also finding time to go on lives, finding time to meet the fans and interact with them and create cool and fun projects with them. But somehow, some people find a way to bring back the narrative to your male white counterparts. And, like, how do you feel about it? What's your take on it? Because, like, to me, it's frustrating because here's my take on it. And then after that, take it away because I think you could say a lot about it. But studios, like I said previously, have a hard time picking up scripts with leading Black, Asian, Latina, Latino even leads. And so when a show comes out with a Latina lead, y'all need to hype it up. Y'all need to be like, yes, right. Yes, yes, yes. Because then that shows networks and studios, we want that on TV. We want that everywhere. Like, even like it goes back to like, you know, One Day at a Time, that Netflix sitcom that was there. Like, it's just like, we need to give it more energy. You guys love it, but you need to give me like 10 times more so that the studios really hear you to compensate right. for the shows with white leads or mainly white casts. So like, what's your tea on that? Like, what's your take on it? Because I feel like you could have a lot to say about it.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely have had to learn how to get used to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's obviously something that I expected because I see how these shows work.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I knew that Julie and the Phantoms was going to be big. Yes, mm-hmm. there's going to be the fans that are like, no, it's not because of that. Like, it's because of the music and Julie and you're amazing. It's like, mm-hmm. yes, I understand that those are some good things as well, but you also have to look at the eye candy that yeah. we have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have these guys that a lot of teenagers will fall for, but I knew, I was like, oh, they're going to eat this up. Mm-hmm. The girls are going to eat this up because yeah. that's mostly how things work.
Marketing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It's I hate a good to say story.
It, but it's how it works.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Julie and the Phantoms was still a great show. I understand that. People know that. There are people who understand that. And there are other people who are just like, okay, but like, the guys. You know what I mean? So it was definitely a little hard at first, though.
Yeah.
Because I definitely felt like I was working a little too hard for it, and I don't want people to think like, oh, she's like, she just wants followers, like she's obsessed with followers, like she's like doing all these, you know, lives mm-hmm. to get more followers. And it's like, that's not what I wanted. That wasn't my intention. Mm-hmm. My intentions were to simply feel like I was on the same level as the guys.
But any woman in multiple workspaces will have to work a lot more just to get the same credit mm-hmm. and the same. And I think it also falls back on the audience, like I said, you got to hype up when a show like this comes out, and because yeah. people want representation, and when it comes out, I'm like, y'all are hung up on guys, which I get. I totally understand.
Understandable.
Yeah, I've met them. I get it. Right. I get it. But also, look at this Latina Lee with curly hair singing the songs.
Right.
Like, look at the material.
I think the thing was that I really thought that that it was going to be a little different. There was a little bit that had, like, expectations that it was going to be different mm-hmm. with this show. Mm-hmm. That this is something new.
Yeah.
This is something that we've never really seen before with a Latin lead. Mm-hmm. And the sense of what she does and who she is, mm-hmm. you know, inside the show and outside of it in real life, you know. So I had a little bit of, like, an expectation that, like, things were going to go a little differently.
Right.
And when I realized that they weren't, I kind of was like, dang, like, ugh. So I might do more school. If I'm smart, I would do more school. It takes me about, like, depending on, I have to do average of 3 hours every day. But on average, I do, like, 8 hours, which is a normal amount of school. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, then I have to think about, okay, I gotta make those TikToks everybody's been acting for. You know, I gotta go live. Everybody's been asking me to go live. I gotta come up with live ideas. You know, people want covers. Gotta think about what cover I want to do. Gotta practice for that. You know what I mean? Like, and then there's also, we were doing a lot of press. A whole lot of press.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things have died down now, but work's starting to pick up again. We got the DreamCon thing. You know, I have the National Women's, you know, show that's coming up too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's a lot of stuff that I finished one thing and I got a million other things to do. And then I realized that I shouldn't be working as hard as I should be. So I cut down on the lives. I cut down on the posting and the TikToks and doing things. And it made me feel bad because I know there were genuine fans out there who were kind of just there to see me and not necessarily see the boys.
Right.
But it was just like, I'm gonna take a break. It's not necessarily a sensitive topic. It's just a topic that a lot of people will not understand.
Well, we're both minorities, so we get it.
Obviously, it's exactly. Obviously we will understand it, but I also feel like with some minority that it's like there's a lot of like misagreement. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I feel like things would be so much better for all of us if there wasn't so much hate within our own communities and hate for each other's communities.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of like we're complaining. We have the same enemy. But we will find some way to make each other our own enemies.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so sad. It's like, you cannot talk about, like, race inequality and, like, just things like this, because they're going to be people that just don't understand.
Hi. We interrupt your daily schedule programming to let you know that Sunset Drive now has merch. Made with the finest garments and the cutest design. Shop our War Best Friends Right Now collection today. Link in bio.
I wanted to sing Broadway songs with you because that's something that we have in common. But
I have one for you, too.
You can give me one. But last time I got a copyright strike off of YouTube because apparently I'm not allowed to sing songs on YouTube. So they try to copyright me. So we can sing songs, but it has to be shorter than 3 seconds. So you can give me one. But I have another game after. It's called Maddie's Hot Takes. You can either... I'm going to bring you, like, hot takes on stuff. Like, on food or on songs or whatever. Oh! So you can either say, like, purr or girl no.
Okay.
That's your two options.
Yes. No, okay. Heart. No heart.
No heart?
You don't say that?
No, who says that?
Okay, so basically no heart is when... It's like you want to say no, but you don't want to be mean. So you're like, no.
Oh, no, with the heart. Oh, shut up. Okay, I'm using that. I'm going to be using that.
But you message. Like, you use that for message.
Yeah, text messages.
Yeah, but you can say it. Like,
okay.
No heart.
No heart. Oh, that's cute.
You know, it's
cute.
Like awkward, like, no heart.
No, thank you for trying. All right, well, the first one is writing a song about your ex.
Purr. Like, purr. I guess, like... You know, like, Thank You Next.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She did that. Purr, yeah, purr, purr.
Yeah, purr.
I really don't know any other breakup songs that, like, are, like, I can go to. I got my driver's
license last week.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's a purr, but also right? A no with a heart.
That's, like...
It's, like, both.
Yes. It's, like, it depends on, like, what kind of song you're writing. You know, if it's, like, a bomb song, like, Driver's License, yeah, Seven yeah. Rings, then do it. But if it's gonna be, like, a...
Like, too fresh, or you're, like, attacking, like,
yeah,
you know?
You know, like, it needs to be iconic. Like, it needs to be a song where it's, like, I'm, like, you may have hurt me, but, like, I'm growing, and I'm gonna be better yeah, than you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or a song, like, a heartbreak song, but it's just, like, I'm not that, it's not that deep anymore. Like, we've
You're not dropping it. Names, yeah, you're not, like, yeah. making it, it's, like, it's just universal. Like, it could be yeah. any kind of situation.
Anybody
like,
can relate to it. It
could be a friendship. It could be anything.
Yeah. All right, next one. Falling in love with a ghost. Purr or no with a heart?
Purr. It just like depends.
Okay.
Like, I'm not like a looks kind of girl, but if you're gonna be a ghost, like what else are you here for?
The personality.
Like we, you know what I mean? Like is there gonna be a vibe? Like you know we can't walk down the street together holding hands. Like
no, we
can't give me a hug.
That could be a plus though. I feel what you're saying, though. I feel what you're dropping. I just feel like when I hear ghosts, like, yeah, Julian the Phantoms, of course. But I also think of, like, Casper the Ghost. And I'm like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's like...
In the middle.
It's like a, What do you say for, like, Right idea.
Wrong execution. One. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right idea, wrong execution. I could see that.
Right.
All right.
You know that meme. You know that meme, right?
How no, I do. It do. It's just
okay,
like
just making sure.
It's just like yeah, I see the vibe. Maybe not for me, but I see the appeal. I see the appeal.
Like I see what you're trying to do. Like yeah. You might be like, oh my god, like Julian the Phantom, like also like Luke. No, it's like a ghost. Like this is a ghost period. Like you don't know what they look like. It's just a ghost. Like you take a very high chance. Like I'm not saying it's gonna be like he's not a songwriter. Like he's a ghost.
Okay.
You know?
I love that. All right, the next one is my favorite one. Convincing your dad to get a dog. Purr or no the heart?
Purr.
Purr. Yes. Purr. For context, everyone, I have a dog. His name is Kobe. He's upstairs. If you heard him bark during this recording, I'm so sorry. But he's adorable. And I showed him to Ricardo, and he was just like, that's a cute dog. And I was like, you should get a dog. You should get a dog. And then he was like, Maddie really wants a dog. The girls really wants a dog. I'm like, oh, get them a dog then. So we've been busting Ricardo about getting Maddie a dog and Megan a dog since...
It's very much a 30 to 80% chance. That's not the right math.
I love that for you. Owen and I didn't know how to do math either. You're fine.
That's not the 70? Right math. It's like a 20 to 80.
20 to 80 chance like,
there's of no. There's a 20% chance of it happening and an 80% chance of it not happening.
Okay, but here's what I'm thinking. Like, I drive down to Pennsylvania with a dog in my backseat. And I'm like, Right. Here you go. Your dad said he would keep it.
Right.
So, that's not an invitation.
Like, we looked into dogs before. Yeah. Like, there was this one friend that he had that found a dog in, like, an alleyway in New York. And they had been having, like, they were, you know, keeping it
safe.
And they were like, Okay, it's time to give it up. And dad was like, oh, my God, like, it's a cute dog, but I'm not driving all the way over there for it. And I was like,
I will.
Okay. I would, but.
You did have your driver's license? I guess. Oh, okay.
No, I don't have. No, that's not. I don't think that's happening. She's yet to learn how to drive, and my license, like, test passed.
Oh. So I could take it. Also, but yeah. Do it again. I mean, if you're going to live in New York and, like, Pennsylvania, maybe you don't need it. But, like, you might at some point want to.
I don't need. Well, I just need a license at least. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, I don't really see myself as a driver like that, anyways.
Yeah. You really said, yeah, see, but no. Yeah.
So I could be like, you know what I mean? Like, just so, like, I know, like, in the case of emergency, I can get myself out somewhere.
Yeah, you can see your friends. Car. You can, like, pick them up, go to the mall.
That too. Like, yeah. I need it. Like, I will have my own car. I will have my own license. I may not be driving around like that, but I will be driving, at least.
Sometime. All right. Next hot take, Madison. Sometime. Omegle. Her or no heart?
I had a moment of, like, what is that? But no heart. Like,
no.
I've seen the videos, but, like, I really don't, like, care for it.
The only Omegle
content. Like, it's, like, funny sometimes.
It's just, yeah, it's, like, funny, but there's a lot of, like, stuff on there that shouldn't be on the internet. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Like, there's stuff that we just don't need to deal with.
No, but have you ever watched, do you know the YouTuber Lorray?
Love him. I'm waiting to converse.
Oh my God, Lorray, if you guys haven't seen his videos, he does like Omegle videos where he just goes on it and then like 13-year-olds will cuss him out and then he replies to them. It's the best.
And he roasts them back. He's just so iconic and funny. His diss tracks are amazing. Just everything about him, iconic.
Tony Lopez caught a case on the game. That song was kind of good. Why was it kind of good?
Stop!
I loved it. All right, moving on. Ooh. The TikTok silhouette red challenge. Do you know what that is?
No comment. It's like purr. Yes, love to see it. But would it be me? But
no, purr. Wouldn't be me either. Go off, sis. That's my answer to that. Go off if that's for you.
Oh, like do what you want to do. Like you look great. Like it's honestly iconic. But no.
Yeah, no, I felt that. No, it's, yeah.
These are, like, random. This is good.
Yo, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
The next one is peanut butter on eggs.
Why did I know you were going to say that? Why did that I or know hot that sauce was on cinnamon coming? Buns.
Yeah.
Who put hot sauce on cinnamon buns?
Charlie. Yeah.
He said that.
Yeah, it was like on his story. Like he asked his friend. I don't remember what her name is, but he asked her like, "Oh, you should taste it. It could be good." And they tasted it, and then.
So that was like, was that like a real thing, or was he just doing that to just be? Like,
I think it was
an
real.
Odd? Was it an?
But
odd?
Like, regardless, per or
no.
I think my biggest issue with that is like, okay, would I try one bite because I like spicy food just to see like, okay, maybe like a dare or something? Sure.
Yeah, but you just sweet waste... and spicy.
But you just like wasted a good cinnamon bun.
Like if you put a little bit on the side, maybe, but like you put it on the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that one for me is a no heart. No, not even a heart.
That's a no heart. Like just a no.
No. All right, moving on to the next.
Like
one.
It's like a no with like a period.
Yeah.
Like. No.
Ooh, that hurts. All right, the next one. Your dad, Julian the Phantom fan simping for your dad. Purr or no heart?
No, heart. No. No.
No. Your dad asked me to ask you that Yeah, see, but no. No. All right, next one. This is actually my favorite hot take. TikTok acting challenges. They're like, I'm the red line.
Yeah.
You're the blue line. Like, how do you feel about that?
I'm like, some people that do it are good, but there's others that I'm just kind of like, this like is this kind of something.
Haven't seen such people who did good on those. It's always overacting, you know? They're like,
Right.
I don't know. Like the facial expressions they do, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, what
Right.
is happening? It's a
Right.
hard no for me. It's a
Yeah, it's a
hard no for
no. It's a
me.
no. It's a
Yeah.
no.
All right. Reboots. Purr or no heart?
As someone who's grown up watching like old movies with my dad, it's kind of like sometimes it's like purr, like I'm ready for it. I like wanted this, I needed this, and I've been fed. Thank you. And then other times I'm just like, no.
I mean, your show is a reboot, technically.
Yeah, that's why I said purr
Okay, purr.
sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes. If it's done right, if there's a purpose for it,
Like
there's a
I would
reason.
love to do like a reboot in the future. Like I would love to be a part of that. Like I'm a big Aliens fan. I would love a little Ripley move moment. I was talking to my dad
Ooh.
about that. 16 Candles
Yes.
moment. I would love it.
Ooh.
I
Pico
would
the
love it.
Studio.
You know, so there's a lot of like old movies that I would love to reboot. Like, you know, redo. But my biggest fear is that I would be given the opportunity and it would just be
Not as
bad.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't just do it like as good as the original. You have to do it better. Otherwise, there's no point to do it. Why are you
Right.
doing it?
Exactly.
Anyways, that's none of my business. All right. Okay. So this is a hot take, but it's not a purr or no heart thing. Kiss, marry, kill, Alex, Reggie, and Luke. That's a hard one. That's a toughie.
Kill? But they're already dead.
Jolt him into non-existence. I don't know. Like, that's a hard
Okay.
one. Okay.
That's hard. That's
I say
really
mine? Maybe that's gonna
hard.
inspire you, maybe. Okay,
That's
here.
really hard.
Mine would be marry Alex, 'cause like, duh. Oh, poor Reggie. Like, you just went there. No, okay. I marry Alex. Yeah, no. I no I no. I don't know. I know I would kill Luke. No, I can't do that. But I can't do it to Reggie either.
Okay,
Okay, Luke gotta
it's
go.
weird. It's weird. Okay, so
Luke gotta go. I'm sorry. Okay, who you marrying? Let's start there.
I was gonna say like Reggie because I
Okay.
think he's funny as a sweetheart, and
True,
I just
true,
really
true.
he's like really sweet.
All right, so marry Reggie.
I don't want to kiss Alex because that's Willie's man. You know what I
Okay, but
mean?
like Willie's not in the picture. Willie's gone. Cuz
I
I'm
don't
not
know.
falling
Honestly,
after.
I don't know.
I feel like you would kiss Alex and kill Luke. But why is it Luke? Like, I love Luke, but why does he get the short end of the stick?
Because Alex is just too amazing to kill.
True.
And then it's like Luke.
Like,
Don't know. Like, Luke is amazing in his own way as well. But
I
he's
couldn't.
into his music, you know what I mean? Like, he's not really looking for love.
True, true, true,
But it's
true.
not worth getting killed over. I don't know. It's really hard.
It's a really loaded question because I think, like, yeah, for me, it's just really clear Alex Mary because he's just like has that potential.
Right.
It's just like Luke and Reg are kind of on the
Like,
same
Luke.
level.
I don't know. Like, the thing with Luke is he gives me very much like I'll serenade you with music and love
Yeah,
songs, you know what I mean? Like, and I really like that. That's like really sweet. He's also like he's nice,
He is
but
nice.
he doesn't give me like he gives me like the kind of guy that's like he's really doesn't know what to do. Like he loves you
Me.
and appreciates you, but he would be like,
I don't know how to handle this. Oh, there's this artist.
You said you want flowers, like.
Yeah, yeah. But there's this artist you always repost on Instagram, and they do like scenes, and I'm like, who is this Luke, and like, why am I like living
that's,
for him?
That's who I want.
This.
I don't know. It's hard.
All right. Well, that was a big debate. Okay, so people, if you're listening to this, in the comments right now, write down your.
Who,
kiss Mary.
It's
kill.
Hard. I don't know.
So I really vibe with your relationship with Jada. I love Jada.
I love her.
Just like the right amount of sass, the right amount of like overflowing talent. I want to know, just like, what does a FaceTime call look between you and Jada? Because I feel like it's chaotic.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. This might work. This might work. I was supposed to call her yesterday. Let's see if we can get this.
Let's see if we can get Jada.
I have her down. Hey,
not Jada making a cameo. I'm dead.
Say hi to the podcast. Say hi.
Hey. Oh my God, I stan.
Call me when you get home. Okay. Okay. I love you. Bye.
Not Jada, pick up right
so
away.
Every time we call each other,
because
we haven't been able to talk in a while. Mm-hmm. She has been busy, so she hasn't been able to like FaceTime. So
right.
She's actually at her grandma's now, like to spend time with her. So she love has like that. Free time. But you know when we don't see each other for a while, you know it's always the.
I'm dead.
A FaceTime call with Jada consists of just us being crackheads and taking a lot of like FaceTime like photos of us just being dumb, and like she was like doing cartwheels in one and then like backflips in the other, and I was like breakdancing and like trying to rap, and you know, like it's just, you know, never what to expect. It's like, you know, sometimes we got like the tea being spilt because obviously we don't talk for a while, and then like we have a lot of tea to spill,
right?
Or it's just simply like, oh my God, like it is. I'm just like, I just can't like do this anymore. Like life is just like so hard. Like I just miss you, and I just like want to go back to filming, and I just feel like I'm just like missing you. Like I miss our friendship, and I feel like
not me crying.
We could just be so much more happier, you know. And there's also kind of like, oh my gosh, like we should just go on like a vacation trip to like the Bahamas, like when we turn 18. Like we're gonna get an apartment together. Like we're gonna start living together. We're gonna like live our lives. And we're going to be baddies, and we're just going to say, you know what? Bye. And we're going to be on a plane like the next day. So, yeah. Because we share the same birthday month.
True. Oh my God. Y'all so can we're both go Cancer. Both in 19.
So we're both going to be like.
Ooh, the chaos. The chaos. Well,
I'll be 18 before her. She's a year younger than me. But.
Okay, you know, well.
We're sisters. Sometimes she gives like little sister vibes, sometimes she gives me like twin vibes. Overall, we're just sisters. We're family. Like, I love her mom. Her mom loves me. My mom loves her. Yes. Our moms love each other. Like, it's iconic. You know, it was
sisters
meant to be.
By chance, friends by choice. I'm loving that for you. Honestly, your friendship is iconic. That's all I'm going to say.
It could be more iconic if we could have time together. Like, I've been thinking about, like, I was talking to my mom about it, and she was like, yo, like, let's go to LA.
Let's
meet you. And I've been thinking about it. You know, I can get COVID tested for my mom and stuff like that to make sure that we don't have COVID before we go out there. But it's also kind of like, no, that's like a lot of work. I'm lazy.
All right. Well, I really love that. Wait, I was about to. You're at a very exciting point in your career, I think. Honestly, the most exciting thing. Like, you're like you're new to the game, but also you have like an amazing show under your belt, and like you're waiting for a season 2 announcement, which should come soon. If Netflix knows what's good for them. So, like, you're at this really exciting place where, like, you know, you're discovering, like, pilot season stuff and auditioning for stuff. And, like, you're really thrown into that, like, world. So, pretend I'm, like, Adam, your agent.
It's so good to be so young and have this fun and be successful.
Dun, dun.
I'm so successful.
Yeah. Not the young.
I don't like that. One thing that I definitely will admit, though, is I don't give it myself enough credit. And I will never do that because
you should.
It's my like way of, I guess, staying humble. I don't know. But I just don't like ever. I have my friends know me that even before I was given this blessing mm-hmm. and had a little bit of, you know, coin to spend on some people. Yeah. Like, I was always giving gifts and just treating people with kindness because I always knew that, like, I hope that if I treat them good, that they will treat me good so I can have people in the future to rely on. Yeah. And, you know, now, ooh, now it's like they treat me so much, you know, so good. And, you know, we've grown and learned. And the friends that I have now are friends I know I'm going to have for years. You know, yeah. I've lost some friends and I've gained some. And, you know, I'm very grateful for everybody that I've had, you know, in my life, because without right. them, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. But, you know, like, I'm not changing who I am. I still care for everybody that I have around me. And I will continue to care for them because, like, you were looking out for me before this. I'm going to look out for you after. That's what I said I was going to do, and I'm going to do it, you know?
I love that. But I'm very much that friend. I like that my friends are humble. I love that you're humble. But I'm also the kind of person who will be like, did you wake up today, look at yourself in the mirror, and realize how bad you are? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of who I am with my friends. So, like,
right.
do you sometimes look in the mirror and you're like, wow, I really sometimes. Did that?
Sometimes.
Yeah, as you sometimes should. Sometimes
like,
as you
like
should.
After this call, it's always calls like this. I'm like, I'm gonna like go upstairs and I'm gonna be like, oh my god, like that's
but you should.
That's you on the poster right there.
Because like you have no idea how many like Latina girls and women before you who went into this field were like, I hope like girls that come after me in this game thrive, and you're thriving, and like you're doing it flawlessly, and you're staying grounded, and you like you don't have a big head, like you acknowledge the intentions and then the potential you have, but you're also not like, F everybody, I did that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're very much like, I have that in me and I will continue to pursue like my ambitions and do what I love to do and hopefully bring my blessings to everybody in my life right. along the way. Because I feel like that might be your love language. Like you're a giver. You're a giver.
I am. That's very yeah. much my love language.
Yeah,
It's so bad. My friends, like my one friend gets so upset like during Christmas. They were just like, why?
But I love it's just
it's fun. Hard to explain. Look, it's fun.
Yeah,
and it makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is for you, but this is kind of for me too, so like just open right. it and take it, please.
Yeah,
I feel like what you're saying. I feel like what you're saying. Yeah, but yeah, I feel like you're at this really cool place in your career where you're like coming in and people are like, oh, Madison Ray. Oh my God, have you heard of the show Madison Ray? It's like Julian Phantom's like, what? Ooh, ooh, ooh. So like, imagine I'm your agent, Adam. You're just like, this is the projects I would want to be on. Like these are the things right. I would want to be on. What would you like to be on?
I actually told them this because it wasn't till recently that I wanted to start taking more like auditions because yeah. the first thing that what happened when we first got back home was, at first, I thought that we were going to go right into it. So I didn't want to take any opportunities yet because I wanted to focus on being with my friends and family. Mm-hmm. And then later down the line, we were just going to figure out what we were going to do.
Yeah.
But now, seeing that there's some time, I'm thinking, I was like, hey, look, you can start sending me more auditions. I would really like some sci-fi movies. I wish I could have been in the Godzilla movie. That's all I have to say. I wish. I'm very big Godzilla fan. Everybody around you are living my dream. Thank you so much. Hope you're living for both of us. But you know, I would like. I love sci-fi movies. I would love to be in movies. Period. I haven't been in a movie yet. I would love to be a superhero.
Yes.
Or a princess. You know what I mean? But that's pretty much it. That's really all I ask for. Like maybe some gigs, like some like little shows. But I really want to get into movies.
Yeah, would you, like, do another music-oriented project? Or are you just like, see, Julie the Phantoms will be my music-oriented project. I kind of want to try things where I'm just an actress.
I don't know. Like, I definitely... It's kind of funny that I never really thought about it because you think, oh, you know, your first gig was this kind of show, right. you know, this kind of vibe.
Right.
Are you sure that you can really just do something that's just simply just acting? And that's where
you
the
very
whole,
much
like,
can.
Horror... satisfying yeah. that sci-fi stuff comes in, and so it's kind of like you have like that quick pace,
yes,
and you know, like that stuff that just keeps you like, oh my god, like what's gonna happen
on
next
toes.
I like those
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
I like stuff like that preferred. Ooh. Over like, you know, like obviously I think I could see myself in like a slice of life movie, you know, one of those kind of movies where it's like, you know,
coming of age.
Yeah, coming of age,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Ooh.
Like, I would love to be in the coming of age movie that Olivia's driver's license song is in. But she mentioned that once in an interview, I think. she was like, I would love to see my movie in like a coming of age movie, my song in a coming of age movie. And I was like, let me be in the movie then, please.
Have you ever been interested in like writing movies and like writing TV shows?
Definitely. I always thought that I would get into like journalism and like writing and stuff like that. Because that's something that like I'm just kind of like, as somebody who's always struggled with writing, it's funny that this is that's something that I really do enjoy doing. I love reading. I love writing. So I kind of always liked, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I don't think I can see myself writing like a movie. Maybe, you know, it doesn't seem that hard to do. Maybe like a short film I could see myself doing. Yeah. You know, a little small project until I can like really say like, oh, I think I'm ready to like do a movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel that. And I love that you love reading and writing because you just opened about your dyslexia this year, actually. How did you deal with all of that? Because like script writing, I don't have one, but like if I could hold it up, it is a thick piece of paper. And when you got multiple episodes, it is thick pieces of paper. Got to memorize. Right. So what would be your biggest advice for kids out there who might deal with dyslexia?
So at first, the way that we were doing stuff was we would read the script before we had our table readings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go out, so I already knew the words. And if I needed to pronounce anything or I didn't know how to say anything, they would help me. But then it just started to get a little like, I just didn't really want to do all that. Like, it wasn't that hard to deal with. And, you know, I felt like I had looked through the script enough to kind of know, like, if it was too hard for me to say or something like that, to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not necessarily hard anymore now. It's just annoying, you know, like, it's just, like, it's just something that you just don't want to deal with because it just becomes, like, there's too much work, like, being extra for what, like, just be simple, get it done, and let's get out of here. Because I don't want to do extra work unless I have to, you know?
Right.
So my biggest advice is simply just know what you can and cannot do and know that if you can't do something, then it's okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. You'll eventually learn how to do it, but you shouldn't sweat over it. You know, that was the thing that I had a problem with. Obviously, you know, I was an honor student who was trying to work a little butt off for A's and B's all the time.
Go bestie.
And once I realized that I shouldn't be stressing, that everything else that I always used to stress would all my stress just went away. Because I was like, there's no need for this. Like, if I can't do it right now, then I'll eventually learn how to do it. You know, and that's another thing that I learned from Kenny was, you know, he always told us that, like, look, if you can't do something right now, then that's okay. Like, you'll get there.
Right.
There was, you know, that one song that we were supposed to have on the track on the album, I couldn't sing. And so we cut it. You know what I mean? And we found another song, and that was Stand Tall. And Stand Tall is an amazing song. And everybody loves Stand Tall.
Yeah.
And now we look back on that one song that we cut, and we realize, oh, snap. You can sing that song perfectly fine now.
Yeah.
Those notes
that
you couldn't hit, you've grown so much. Now look, you can do it. You know what I mean?
That's
just an example of just how, like, you know, you might not be able to do something right now, but if you just keep on working at it, you'll eventually get there. Just don't stress over it, because then it becomes, like, unenjoyable. And that's what was happened with that song with me. It was like all this work had me like, I'm not really liking the song, I don't want to do this anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a little hard, and I just feel like we could just work on a different song that we can build on and then come up with something incredible.
You're so wise. I can't. No, but like when you said like I was in high school and I felt like I was like maybe like a little more mature than like my classmates, I feel that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people just say that to be like, oh my God, I'm just like so mature.
Yeah, you're definitely. Not like that. That's another thing. That's why I don't really like bringing it up a lot when it comes to like how I view things or, you know, how I take things in and understand things. It's because like, you know, I never want to be that like basic teenage girl who is like, oh, like she thinks that she's so mature and all this stuff. You know, I've definitely grown a lot more in my maturity because of this gig and because of this work. You know, career choice that I've made, and I knew that was going to kind of happen. But the biggest thing that you need to understand is that you cannot be in this kind of job and not have maturity, because it takes a lot of responsibility and a lot of understanding to really just do what I do. You know, like, yes, it's fun. It's an amazing gig to have after you're done with all the hard work. You know, like, it's like now I get to sit back and enjoy the fans and have these conversations with people where I get to talk about my experience. But that doesn't mean that it was easy peasy. and lemon squeezy. No. It was hard. Yeah. And luckily I had Jada with me, and I had Sasha, and I had Sunny. You know, we had these minors on set that we all really got close with each other because we were going through the same thing where it was like, this is a lot of work. If that was by myself and I didn't have Jada,
It would have hit.
Like, it got to me at the end. Yo, everybody was getting sick on set, and it was wear and tear, and I was like on my last strength, and I got sick. And I got sick, and I realized that I was not taking care of myself as I should. I was just working and
overworking yourself,
running to school, trying to finish school. Like, I didn't have the weekends off half the time because I had to do school because I couldn't get enough hours in during the week. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's not you get to go on set and you get to act. And it's like, yeah, that's all the bright stuff. But, you know, you can't take all that bright stuff and not take the bad as well. You know, like, I'm not going to say it was horrible, but definitely there were those days where I felt like it was just a little bit much and I couldn't handle it. And, you know, luckily I had, you know, a good work system with myself, and I knew when I shouldn't push myself, and I knew when I was pushing myself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I knew when to back off and kind of just be like, all right, I got to take a break, you know? And then with those days, like when we did, I got the music, you know what I mean? I was not used to dancing around and having to do stuff like that, take after take, especially in the clothes. You know what I mean? Like, layers on layers, it was hot. And then I still had to run to school. I was like, I remember telling Miss Jen, I was like, Jenny, I can't do this right now. I gotta breathe. Me and Jenna were like, we gotta, please. And she was like, take it. You know, when we went to school, we never, ever used them as breaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
would do school. That's definitely hard. That's another thing that people need to know is, like, if you're a minor and you get into this gig, if you are not like a good independent worker with schoolwork, then it's going to be hard for you because it's a lot of work by yourself. And yes, you have a tutor, but, you know, like, it's, if you have like 10 minutes to do school and you know that you still need to get it done before the end of the year, because you can't just skip out on school because of it.
You
gotta get that stuff done. And I realized, I was like, I'm not about to go back home and have all this work that I didn't get to finish and have to do more stuff. So I would go in there and I'll go straight back into it. And it was hard. I was tired with my dyslexia. It was so hard to pay attention and really just sit down and read those words. Because it's like half the time, I was like, I don't want to read this right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to read this.
And you have your other scene to think about. You have your other dance moves to
especially
think about.
Especially on those scenes where it was like meant to, like, emotional. It's like you're in one mindset and you have to quickly get out of it. Go into school, put your mindset onto that schoolwork, and then switch it back on when you have to go back inside. It's like, this is too much.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So kudos to you. I feel like, and it's funny because a lot of the, when I was a kid, everybody was like, I want to be a Disney Channel star. I want to be a Disney Channel star, Nickelodeon. The work they put into it. And like, when I think about it, Savannah also did school and the TV show at this time. And Owen also did school and TV. It's just, but I feel like after that, you enjoy your time on set even more. Because you're just like, wait, I'm done with this scene. I don't need to run. I can just sit
right
here on my phone.
And it's so sad. Like, I remember like, oh, I remember wishing like we'd be on like a little break.
Yeah.
Please let me sit.
Yeah.
Let me stay here, please. Like, I love Jenny, but when she would come to get me, I'd be like, no! No! Let me stay here, please! They'd be like, all right, Madison, go to school. You got 20 minutes. I'm like, no!
20 minutes? Girl, it takes 20 minutes for me to start concentrating. Girl.
Honestly. Not for me. It was just crazy. Like, and then, like I said, it was a good thing that I had Jada, but sometimes it was a little hard as well because, you know, like, teenage girls,
your friends,
at the end of the day,
you
want to mess around.
Yeah.
Throw stuff at each other, pens. This little
like
globe
would.
That the teacher had, it was like a glow ball, and we just like, and we go back to doing our work, and it was just so funny. But you know, she also helped me pay attention, and you know, on the weekdays when we had off or we didn't have off, and I had to do school, I would do school with her. She would be there, so I wouldn't be miserable. You know, I wouldn't be by myself.
Right.
You know. It was good having her there, girl talk, and just chilling.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for her. She made the process a whole lot easier, really.
So we're going to end on, actually, we have our last question. Not the Kiki ending, not having it end. No.
Well, oh watch. I'm telling you, they're going to be like, part two. I'm going to be like,
next year. Season two. Oh my God, St. Patrick's Day, I'm dead. With a green thing on the back.
Imagine.
Could you imagine? The last question is, you didn't get to experience the magnitude of what happened to you yet? Because, like, okay, paint a picture for everybody at home. You do a show, high emotions, go back home. And then working actors who are, like, in adults and need to pay bills, they'll start auditioning for more stuff again. They'll start, like, trying to book more stuff because, girl, they gotta pay the mortgage.
Right. And then
it's kind of, everything is back to normal. You keep tabs on the people you work. It's kind of going to summer camp, you know? You keep tabs
right.
on people.
Which is definitely different with Julie and the Phantoms as well. That was the biggest thing that was different because you have those shows and those movies where it's like people do stuff and it's like that one season and you don't really expect people to get that close. But with the time that we spent, like, we got really close.
Yeah, really close.
So we were like, oh, we wanted to be another season so we can see each other again and all this stuff.
Yeah, So
and then you get home.
It's just normal. You do the dishes. Yeah. You take out the trash. Like, you're not.
You hang out with the family. You hang out with the family. Catch up.
It's back to normal. And then the show comes out. And it's like, you check your phone where you just DM your friend. Only your friends were in your DMs. And then it's just like, oh, more people. Oh, more people. More. Right. Whoa. What's happening? And then, like, it's just, it's growing. But then, like, if we weren't in a Pandemica, Panini, a Pangea, you would be out here. Like, not the Patricia. You would be out here, like, doing, like, red carpets and, like, studio interviews and stuff like that, which you didn't really get to do this time around. So, like, what do you look forward to the most once the Pangea, the Patricia is over? Like, we're out here.
Live performances. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be honest with you. Do they stress me out a little bit? Like, I already know I'm going to be stressed.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to, like, you know, I'm a performer. I'm a singer. I like singing. Yeah, I like all that stuff. So I really wanted to, like, be able to see, like, the fans and do the la 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 la.
Yeah. You know, oh, my,
like,
God.
Hey. You know, stuff like that. Uh-huh. You know, I haven't finished the lyrics for you in this sold out stages. I mean, I remember when we went to go see the Jonas Brothers and we could just not stop imagining what it would be like for us. You know, like, this could be us. It's going to be us someday. Sold out arena. We're gonna be on the stage. We're gonna have all these people here just singing with us, and it's gonna be amazing. Not so much like the interviews. I get really bad anxiety with that stuff, even with virtual, because, you know, you don't want to say the wrong thing and you know, all that stuff. But I'm excited for everything.
All right, well, we have to wrap this up because, like, we're going on, like, this is gonna be a part one, part two. I think this has to, like, is this almost 2 hours? It's fine. The last question I have for you, we have a playlist on Sunset Drive where I always ask people, what's the song of the moment that you think everybody should have on their playlist right now, should be blasting everywhere? And we already have a couple of Julie songs because, of course, we had mostly Julie and the Phantoms cast. So, like, songs that, like, isn't on the soundtrack, but, like, you're just like, yeah.
Songs that's on the soundtrack or songs
that aren't on the soundtrack? Like, yourself. Like, what?
Okay,
what you
so Decode.
Decode.
From the Twilight soundtrack. Oh. By Paramore.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Okay, I've been listening to that. Streets, of course, by Doja Cat.
Streets! Yes.
If you don't have Streets on that, you better add that.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. What else have I been listening to? Relationship by Anthony Ramos. He's from Hamilton.
We talked about him last episode and talked about how his music is immaculate. Immaculate.
Yum, ooh. Yum, yum. So good. What else?
Well, it's time to wrap up the episode. I hope you guys feel like you made a friend.
Honestly, I'm about to cry. Like,
not me.
No cap.
Anyways, I hope you guys listened to the episode and felt like you made a friend. That's always the point of it. Like, we have a merch line and it's called We're Best Friends Right Now. Because it's like, we're all best friends right now. We're vibing. We're in the gig. So, I hope, Maddie, you feel like you made a friend on here. I definitely felt like... But yeah, I feel like... I hope you guys feel like you made a friend. You can check out Madison on Julie and the Phantoms and everywhere in a couple of years. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah.
And yeah, this has been the episode. So I'm Anthony Smith.
This is Madison Reyes.
Yeah. And this has been Sunset Drive.